Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Where tonight we could be crowning a World Series champion or we could be looking ahead to Game 7. Right now, Mike's Rays, his Rays, have the lead. Bottom of the fifth inning, Dodgers batting right now. They trail 1-0, the only run tonight on an Arozarena home run. And Blake Snell has been in complete control of this game since he threw his first pitch. He is at 68 pitches. He has 9 strikeouts. He struck out the side in the first inning. He is absolutely dominant. And I'll tell you, Mike, watching this game so far, looking at the dot, like they can tell, okay, we have to find a way to get Blake Snell out of the game. Well, clearly he can go into the eighth or ninth inning with this low pitch count, but I kind of feel like the Dodgers, they're like waiting around for a home run. You know, I feel like they're not waiting around for a they're waiting for someone to hit a home run to open the floodgates, tie the game, and that's going to jumpstart the offense. That's kind of how I get that vibe of them playing tonight so far.
Going back to the regular season when trying to generate runs the old-fashioned way was frowned upon. I mean, they were a team that was a conga line, big flies left and right. It begs the question to some degree, and obviously they're up 3-2 in the World Series, so you don't throw everything out, but you still go back to who did you play during the 60-game abbreviated season? You played in the NL West and beat up on some pitching staffs and now steps up in class, becomes a much more difficult proposition to we saw earlier in the series. The Dodgers going to the let's generate some runs. Let's get active on the base paths. Well, against Snell tonight, you got to actually get on base to be able to get active on the base paths. 5 innings pitched, just the single hit allowed, 0 walks right now. 69 pitches, 45 of them for strikes, keeping them off balance all night. Meanwhile, the Dodgers are starting to call up all of the old-timer teams of years past to be ready for their batter or three later on in this game.
Oh, Ramon Martinez is warming up in the bullpen for the Dodgers right now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're all getting ready to come in. You're gonna get everybody. I mean, seriously, that's how it's gonna go tonight.
Well, it was another one where they got 5 outs from Gonsolin, right?
Yeah.
Dave Roberts was, yeah, we need 5 innings from him, which everybody knew that was a pipe dream. But yeah, put it out in the universe and hope that it happened. 4 strikeouts, great. Problem is, he didn't get anybody else out.
Well, what are you talking? He's worried. He got 5 outs. Oh, 5 innings. Oh, five,
yeah, yeah.
Five. Oh,
he got
five
the five
innings.
Right.
He wanted that. Yeah.
I mean, he was looking for the King Kong Bundy 5 count.
Yeah,
in terms of innings, and he got it abbreviated.
You know, and the thing is, it's tough to say this about a game in which it's 1-0, right? But this is the deal for the no win or lose the World Series. I know exactly what the number one thing they're doing in the offseason is. We got to go get another pitcher. Right, because clearly David Price probably would have been that guy, but he opted out of the season. People forget, you know, he's a guy that was thrown into that Mookie Betts trade, and I remember going, they're gonna count on him. Like, you know, David Price, he's not with the team that gave him all that money. He's away from the pressure of Boston, which he was never comfortable. He's going to be really good for the Dodgers. Then he opts out of the season. So clearly, he would have been a guy starting tonight's game. Now you could say 1-0. David Price could clearly be going through 5 innings, you know, keeping the game at 1-0. But every game, the Dodgers go through 7-8 relief pitchers. And, you know, I get that so far they haven't had to bring their high leverage guys in, but eventually you're going to have to do that. I mean, you're up to Gonzalez, who's a guy that pitches when things are on the line, you know, Baez when things are on the line. You can't keep exhausting your bullpen. And I get in the playoffs, you go to your bullpen earlier because, you can't take time like you do during the regular season. But when you keep exhausting your bullpen like this, it's going to be who's going to have anything left. And right now the Rays, if this game holds holds the way it is, they get a huge advantage going into Game 7 because they're all going to be rested. We're rested and ready. We're ready to go. And the Dodgers are like, we're on fumes right now. Walker Buehler, can you go eight? This is your last start of the year. Can you go eight innings for us? Can you throw 145 pitches tomorrow night? I mean, that's really where it's going to be for the Dodgers because they have such a deficit at starting pitching. You come in and you are giving away World Series games because you don't have a reliable third starting pitcher. It's not that you need a guy to come in that's going to be like Buehler or Kershaw, but you need somebody that can give you five innings, five or six innings where even if they give up three runs, okay, it's a 3-1 game, maybe win in the final three or four innings, but the Dodgers are giving away World Series games because they don't have a third pitcher that they can throw out there. It's insane.
Yeah, we talked about it during even going back to the regular season, right? Even though they're beating everybody up going, all right, this is the staff you go with because you had two guys that you trusted. Urias has been solid in spurts, but he's not, an every fifth day third starter that you trust necessarily. And then you see Wood comes in, he pitches two innings today. It still just begs the question of in the regular season why there wasn't a move made. Or even right after David Price opted out. I get it. He's an expensive opt-out and everything that flows through it. But you're the Dodgers. You have cash at your disposal. You have the opportunity to go make a move. You have a rich farm system if it requires making a deal and giving up a prospect or two, which they've always been reticent to do. But coming into the World Series where you've got to pitch two wishing, hoping games out of I don't even call them bullpen games. What did they try to call this one with Gonsolin? Like, tried to sell it that he was going to be the guy to bridge you. I saw the debate starting to flow as he struggled, right, as he was about to get himself ejected. And I mean that in the kindest way. He didn't
just
actually
got
thrown
ejected.
Out, but get himself taken out of this game was, should they have started Buehler on the short rest, which would have left you with a bullpen game for Game 7. So that's not helping anybody. But just the construction leaves some to be desired. We're on pitcher number 5. They just showed Gratterall up and throwing in the Dodgers' pen. So we'll see more shuffling, no doubt, here in short order. But in the end, we've talked a lot about the pitching. You spend an awful lot of money on guys to club the ball, and they've been absolutely useless in this game. They're getting no solid contact on Snell, let alone making any kind of real threat.
So this is where we sit right now, top of the sixth inning. Still a lot of baseball left, as my dad would say, a lot of golf left. I go, Dad, why do you say that when it's a baseball game? Because it works. I go, why don't you just say there's a lot of baseball left? Nah, a lot of golf left. But I don't understand. He does that all the time. Oh, plenty of golf left. I go, all right.
It makes no sense.
When we're playing golf, I understand when he says that. But I go, there's plenty of baseball left.
Doesn't make any sense. He's going to make a dramatic comeback on you? Or,
he does it all the time. He even says that for things like, Dad, we got to leave for the show in 15 minutes. Oh, plenty of golf left. What does that even mean? Just get over to the house so we can leave.
He's trying to make fetch happen.
Oh, so again, top of the sixth inning, Tampa Bay with a 1-0 lead over the Dodgers. The Dodgers just the one hit so far tonight. Now, the big story. All right, now I want everybody to calm down. I feel like in Jerry Maguire when he gets fired and he comes out and he says, I'm not going to do what you all think I'm going to do, and that is flip out. But let's play this Trevor Lawrence soundbite from earlier today. When he was asked about his future plans, clearly he is ticketed for the New York Jets. We have warned that maybe he goes back to school. More likely he would force a trade if he feels the Jets are a really bad franchise. And he was asked about that today. And here is Trevor Lawrence's response.
You, you're cool. You, I'm out.
Kind of a mindset.
No, go ahead. Get playing out.
Sorry, I really couldn't blame that response.
No,
sorry.
No. That would have been a good one.
Kind of a mindset's been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. God has a plan for me no matter where that is, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country or that's close to home or I stay another year, no matter what it is, we'll work it out.
Okay. All right. Now, again, I'm not going to flip out. This is not crazy. We've already talked about the possibility of Trevor Lawrence staying in school or more than likely saying, don't draft me. I don't want to start with your crazy-ass bad team. Now, that's a possibility. But let's just say this, what he said right here, before we get into the possibility that he completely disses the Jets, this doesn't mean that he's going to leave, right? This is, what do you expect a guy to say who's in the middle of his junior year? He's going to be the number one pick. He's in the middle of his college season. They're likely going to the playoff. What's he going to say? Yeah, I might go. I might stay. I mean, who's going to say, oh, yeah, dude, I'm gone. Are you kidding? I am so gone. I am out of here. I can't wait to go. Oh, my goodness. Hey, I'm going to bring Dabo with me. We're going to go to the Jets. It's going to be great. They're going to draft Etienne, and everything's going to be great. No, of course he's going to say, yeah, look, I don't know. Maybe I stay. Maybe I go. I don't know. That's a very honest opinion. That's a very honest response of what you expect quarterbacks to say. When Sam Darnold, they were talking about the possibility of the Jets getting the number one pick when Darnold was, you know, the guy. He said, well, I don't think anybody should tank for me. I don't think anybody should do that. And I remember for a little bit, there was that story of, oh, Sam Darnold's going to diss the Jets. He may wind up doing it. Trevor Lawrence may wind up doing it. But this statement is what I expected to hear from him, is that, listen, I could go. I could stay. I don't know yet. He's in the middle of his college season, all right? They're undefeated. He just threw his first pick six, so obviously the Jets rumors are affecting him. But what he said today, Mike, I didn't see where this is the case of, okay, now he's telling everybody, oh, I'm going to go. You know, I'm not going to go to the Jets, and everybody start making some plans so I can get where I want to go.
Either the cops got him or they don't. He's alive or he's dead. I mean, that's really – he covered all the bases. But I, at the risk of being blasphemous, kind of said it's in God's hands. God hasn't shown to be a really big fan of the Jets. So just kind of throwing that out there while we have this discussion. But
well, maybe God owes us one. I think God does owe us one. I really think he does.
That's the case.
Yeah.
But at this point, he's not going to commit to anything. Right, he wants everybody at Clemson to stay fired up of, wow, Trevor could come back. No, wow, this is just, we get the 2020 season and a bonus. So, you know, that's good for people writing checks to the university and keeping them fired up. Teammates, like, everybody knows that the likelihood is pretty small, but everybody makes the choices based on what's right for them. And it's not necessarily about snubbing the Jets. All right, it would be about snubbing the Jets, but if he wants to go back to Clemson, great. If not, I mean, look, the Jets are no sure thing to have that number one overall pick. There's several teams hot on their trail here, but I don't see a win on your schedule, so that helps too. It's just the curiosity in the middle of the season. He's going to have to be asked these questions every week for the rest, and we'll see if he changes his tune at all, but I would suspect it's much the same. So much to be decided, so many conversations. I'm concentrating on this season, controlling what I can. Obviously, there's extra stuff on top of us, because here's the, you know, we're working extra hard because of COVID-19, keeping the team together and pushing forward, trying to bring a national title in. It's an easy out. And then if you go the other side, as he says, you know, it's God's will of there's a lot of variables that come into this thing, that between now and draft day, there's going to be a million changes. What do the Jets do with their squad? Or is it the same folks? Does he have someone in his ear that can convince him that that's really a bad move to just stand pat with the way the draft normally works? Does another team rise up and steal that number one overall pick? Who the hell knows? He could get hurt. I don't wish that on anybody, but that might change your decision-making process one way or the other. Man, there's a lot that can happen over the next seven months before we get to the draft, where it's hopefully live and in living color with all the people booing lustily like they have in years past.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm worried about, right? I'll tell you what I'm worried about. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. I'm not worried that Lawrence is going to suddenly go, I don't know. What's going to happen is this. The media, and this is the only time I'm going to say evil media, the media is going, and they've already taken off with the Trevor Lawrence should not go to the Jets storyline, right? It's already happened. We've talked about the possibility of it, and now you're getting members of the media saying, don't go to the Jets. Think about staying in school, right? We had it last week. You had Roddy White telling him to stay in school. You had Tim Tebow saying, oh, I wouldn't go to the Jets. This narrative is going to get out of control, and it's going to influence things. You're going to see all these players saying, use your leverage, and the story will get out of control. Is it because they have special feelings? No, the Jets are a train wreck, just like the Browns were a train wreck, just like the Colts. All these teams that are train wrecks, you get the number one pick, it turns out to be a great player. Guess what? You look pretty good. That's kind of how it goes. But now this special narrative of, God, the Jets are so embarrassing, hey, you should, that's going to really get in, and it's going to be so many voices saying, hey, don't go, go play where you want to play. Strike a blow for collegiate players and play where you want to play. Use your leverage just for no reason other than let's mess up the norm. Let's mess up the draft and let's pull a power play. That's going to happen. That is absolutely going to happen. It's going to be a huge story all the way between now and the middle of January, which means if the Jets don't have their house in order and they don't figure out, okay, here's our new coach, we're doing it, they got to find some way to make the Jets look like, hey, we're okay to come here. We're a destination. We're all right. You know, right now the Jets are that restaurant that's got an F on the window on the outside. And it's, whoa, I can't go eat there. You got to get that thing to a C, and then you got to get that to an A by the middle of January. And that's what's going to happen. That's what I fear, is that this narrative of Trevor Lawrence should stay or Trevor Lawrence should force a trade is going to take over, influence everything. You're going to have high-powered people and people in big positions saying, yes, he should do this, just because it's an interesting story. And we've never seen it, and can we do it, and could Trevor Lawrence use his leverage? That's what I'm afraid of happening. Not that, oh, I don't want to go right now. No. That's what I'm afraid of as this narrative continues on.
Well, 2020 is the year of shifting paradigms and a lot of chaos, right? That's kind of how we would define it. So why not be the guy who really upsets the apple cart? That's one of the things here, is to be that trailblazer, difference maker. And look, we all recognize the draft for what it is. Doesn't mean it's not a great spectacle, but we recognize the faults in its existence in terms of entering a workplace and marketplace. But there's the system here. Now it's a question of Trevor Lawrence and maybe some other guys in this draft class that decide it's time to shuffle up and deal.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Dodgers coming to bat in the bottom of the sixth inning. Another clean inning for the Dodger bullpen. The Rays lead it 1-0. AutoZone is America's number one battery destination, no matter what battery problems you're dealing with. You can find your battery solution at AutoZone. AutoZone offers free battery testing so that you don't spend money on something you don't actually need. AutoZone offers free battery charging if you're simply in need of a fresh charge. AutoZone has more ways you to shop for your battery needs, like same-day pickup, in-store, or curbside. Next time you're having starting trouble, start at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. We'll keep you updated on Game 6 of the World Series. However, coming up next, Jerry Jones is mad. How mad? Well, he told people to shut up today while he was on the radio with them. Yes, that's next, right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, and the more I watch baseball, the more I don't understand it. What has just happened in the last 4 minutes, I look around and go, had everybody taken crazy pills? Everybody have taken baseball crazy pills. All right. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. So as we told you, Blake Snell, Cy Young winner, Blake Snell, is cruising through the Dodgers lineup. Right? We told you. Game 6 of the World Series. Look, the Rays have to have this. Dodgers could win the World Series tonight. Everybody knows the stakes. Rays are winning 1-0, and Blake Snell is pitching phenomenally against this Dodger lineup that is just off the hook as far as, hey, look, man, we're going to hit 1-9. And they're not getting good contact. They're not getting good swings. His pitch count was at 73. He had struck out 9. He had just gotten a pop-up, and then he gives up a base hit. All right, Austin Barnes gets a base hit. And Kevin Cash goes to the mound like someone said, hey, there's a shoebox full of 20s at the mound. He goes right to the mound and calls for Anderson right away. And I'm watching this going, as Dave Roberts now managing the Rays, you're taking out a Cy Young winner who's throwing a two-hit shutout, and his pitch count is at 70, and you take him out after he gives up a hit in the bottom of the sixth inning. Now, I get analytics. Believe me, I understand what things are about, but this is just – this defies – reason, because you decided to take out the best pitcher that you've had. The guy threw zeros at the Dodgers in game two. He's throwing zeros at him again in game six, and he's at 70 pitches. And you, nope, let's take out Blake Snell. This is one of those Grady Little moments that could come back and go, dude, what are you doing? Because what has happened? Anderson comes in, he gives up a double down the line to Mookie Betts, and the Dodgers right now have runners at second and third and one out in the bottom of the sixth inning. But more importantly, Blake Snell is out of the game. He was incredibly pissed coming off the mound, like he was earlier in the ALCS when they took him out after giving up a hit in the fifth or sixth inning. And he said, what the blank are we doing? He is extremely upset. I can't blame him. I can't blame the Rays. I don't get it. And you look at Kevin Cash, who goes from last week or the last game and his decision to not challenge the steal of home by Margo. Okay, that could have tipped the game. And now you go take out Blake Snell, and now the game is tied. Wild pitch by Anderson, and the Dodgers have tied this game at one apiece. I don't understand. Kevin Cash, is he trying to get fired? I could go manage the Rays. I mean, I think that's a pretty cool gig. I got a really good team there. We're a 90-win team. I could go manage the Rays. If he's really trying to get fired, I could go do that, Mike.
A couple of things. Both managers are really adhering to the you will not see a player for the third time at the plate mantra. Mm. Right? We saw the hit from Barnes. Betts is in the on-deck circle. That's it. Done. Why? Because he's leading off. This is his third at bat. The metrics say this all goes to hell if Snell stays in the game. And instead, you get a double, and then you get a wild pitch.
And now you have a second run of the inning for the Dodgers as Mookie Betts scores from third base on a grounder to first. They try to go home with it, and the Dodgers now have a 2-1 lead. This could have been an out. It could have been getting out of the inning. Instead, the inning continues on for the Dodgers with one out. Right, well, not the inning continued. They could have gotten out of it. Okay, runner at first and two outs. But Mookie Betts just goes on contact, and he blitzes home well ahead of the tag. It's not like he got a great jump either. I mean, he just used his speed and got home for that run, and it's a 2-1 game now. Dodgers still batting in the sixth inning, and Kevin Cash right now is saying, oh, I got something important to do. Can someone manage the rest of the night? I got to go. I got something. I got a phone call to make. Listen, it's my turn. I'm playing Words with Friends. It's a really big game against my brother, and so I got to go do this. Can somebody else go do it? Because right now he is going to get lambasted. Like, if this score holds, he is going to get lambasted. I get the whole analytics part of it, but listen, when you got a Cy Young Award winner who has given up zeros all the way through, you don't take him out when suddenly you get to, hey, here's a third time. No, you leave that guy in. He's pitching really, really well. It's just like we say about Dave Roberts, Mike, is that when you beholden yourself to analytics like this, you wind up taking out a pitcher who is going good, and you bring in somebody who maybe it's not his night.
Yeah.
Now, so far, Anderson has not been getting hit, but he has thrown a wild pitch for a run. He's given up a grounder for a run. You go and you take out a guy for no reason other than, well, the numbers say to do this. And I get that. I get that certain nights when you're trying to save a bullpen. But this is the World Series where you want to say at the end, I rode my best guy all the way till the end. And if I lose with Blake Snell, then I lose with Blake Snell. And everybody says, hey, you did the right thing. Of course, you got to leave him in. But now you decide to go to relief pitching and you lose. And suddenly, who's the guy that's going to wear it? Kevin Cash is going to wear it.
Yeah, I get it. You know, he hasn't gone six full. I think I'd seen since July of 2019. So he'd been hitting where his maximum had been. I would love to see the pitch counts in a lot of those games. But 73, you had the two hits. That second hit was wasn't exactly a rope into center field. And I get it. Betts is coming up. He comes in on Anderson and rakes a double, rips one down the line, and it starts what could potentially end up being a big inning here for the Dodgers. At a minimum, they've taken the lead. But I still just don't understand why you have to be beholden to a spreadsheet. Right?
Yeah, I mean,
You've got a guy in Snell who's been dominant. He's moving the ball effectively, right? He's not lost anything off his top pitches. He's been effective all night, working the zone, getting guys to go up high and chase high fastballs. And then you come with the quick hook because the numbers go into the red as to the opponent's batting average against. Like, you know what? I'll take my chances with my ace, right? That's why you pitched him in game two. That's why you rallied the first time that he was on the mound going back to game two. And that's why you have him here in game six and the matchup against Tony Gonsolin, who was already chased and the Dodgers are already on their fifth reliever. How you decide this is the time to take him out is just beyond me. A lot of it's explaining to do, and they immediately showed Snell in the dugout. I really wish his mask was down in that moment.
So he could get fined twice for Good. Cursing on camera and for having a mask off. They would fine him twice for that.
That's okay. I think you could have gotten a GoFund yourself. People would have been happy to pay it because right now Dick Vitale and the other members of the Tampa Bay fandom, they are pissed.
Just think about it this way, right? Forget about analytics. Just think about it this way. If I told you in the sixth, after knowing everything going on, that the Rays were going to take Blake Snell out of the game, the Dodgers' reaction, they would be so incredibly happy because they can't touch this guy. So yeah. Why would you do it? You know the Dodgers are, oh, my God, we got him out of the game. Thank God. That mental hurdle of getting a great starting pitcher out of the game is so big. How many times do you see it where, boy, we got to make sure we make so-and-so throw a lot of pitches. So we get to the sixth, seventh yep. inning, they got to go to the bullpen. And what happens? They're so relieved. They get that jolt of energy and excitement. Boom. When we get hits, we hit the reliever that comes in the seventh and eighth inning, we wind up winning. I mean, this is what the Rays did the Dodgers a favor. They said, no. Here, we're going to do our best to give you the World Series. I know, Dave Roberts, you've tried with us and the Dodgers front office. I know you both have tried that, but really, we want to give back to you now, so we're going to help give this to you here for the World Series. I mean, it's the biggest gift you could give the Dodgers, and it's not even close to Christmas.
I just want to see games decided because of the play on the field, not because of officials or managerial boneheadedness.
Well, then you got to stop watching baseball in the playoffs then.
Yeah, 2020 playoffs are not for me, buddy.
No, dude, you have to get to the final game of the season, and then what's the when you see on radio and they go, lock it in and rip the knob off, right? When you find the radio, 93Q, lock it in and rip the knob off, right? You got to get to the end of the season and go, and thanks, Al, get ready for the postseason. You turn off the TV and rip the knob off. I'm not going to watch playoffs. If you don't want to see managers blowing things in the playoffs, then don't watch playoff baseball. The Rays get out of the inning, the Dodgers still lead 2-1. They are an out away from getting out of the inning. A big fly ball to the warning track in left, but Max Muncy still batting for the Dodgers right now. They lead it 2-1. We have more coming up in 90 seconds, but first,
be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So the Dodgers lead the Rays right now, going to the top of the seventh. They are nine outs away from the World Series now, as the Rays are able to get out of the inning. But the damage was done, and really, clearly, this is going to be one of the big topics of conversation, depending how the rest of this game goes. Kevin Cash takes out his best pitcher. The Dodgers immediately tie the game. They're feeling good about themselves, and now the Rays are sitting in the dugout going, okay, this is not... This is not good. This is not good.
We live in a different world than we did 30 seconds ago.
We do. The Dodgers have sat down all the other guys they were bringing in, like Chad Billingsley was getting ready, J.P. Howell, Guillermo Mota. No, now the high leverage guys.
Wow,
now it's get the high leverage guys up. Oh, I know we had all you guys. Dave Roberts called down and said, now I know we had all you guys who I really don't trust and don't like bringing in. We're ready to come in tonight. Now, I'm sorry. You guys can sit. Now I need you guys that I like to bring in. And I need you guys to come in that I want to bring into this game. So all you guys start getting ready. Gratterall, get ready. Everybody get ready. Jansen, even you get ready. Ah, here we go. So this is where it's at right now, because we have had and a managerial decision that really, again, it depends how this game goes, but it could go down with that Grady little decision. I'm lifting Pedro Martinez, the managerial decisions that just teams don't get over because it flips the game from a victory for their team to a loss for their team, and they don't win the playoffs, they don't win the ALCS, they don't win the World Series. I mean, this is that kind of decision that Kevin Cash has decided to make here in the sixth inning of this game. It still baffles me. I couldn't believe he came running out to that mound, and Blake Snell goes, "You got to be blanking kidding me, blankety blankety blank." Oh man, his post game is going to be so much fun. It's going to be so much fun to hear Blake Snell after the game.
I wish he'd gone Nino Brown on him. Sit your $5 ass down before I make change. I'm not coming out. Beat it. Get your ass back to the dugout.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. We are live from the Geico Studios. Again, this developing story is just crazy, but this is why baseball is so great. Don't forget, November 6th and 7th, the world's best thoroughbreds will compete in 14 exhilarating races worth $31 million in purses and awards at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more about the Breeders' Cup World Championships at BreedersCup.com/2020. That's BreedersCup.com/2020. Well, coming up next, Jerry Jones, really mad, made it very obvious today on a radio show, telling people to shut up. You'll hear it and what that means coming up next right here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. We are live from the Geico Studios. Quick reminder, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. So the Dodgers continue to lead Tampa Bay in Game 6 of the World Series 2-1. Tampa batting with two outs and one on in the top of the seventh inning. Julio Urias has just come into the game for the Dodgers to relieve Gratterall. So Dodgers trying to hold on. They are seven outs away from the World Series. We'll keep you posted on this throughout the rest of the night, because coming up in a few minutes, boy, we got to get into this whole Kevin Cash controversy, because what he did earlier in this game was just insane.
He's upset all of baseball, by the way.
He has upset. Well, you know, he's upset everybody who doesn't subscribe to analytics. That's what he does. The analytics people are going, hey, what a great thing he did for us right there. Well, this is fantastic. Look what he did for analytics. He really struck. And everybody else is like, what are you kidding me? I mean, really, Twitter's going to break, and it's all going to break because baseball players are going, I don't understand. I don't understand what this is. Why you would take out a Cy Young winner throwing a two-hit shutout who threw zeros at the Dodgers in Game 2, and he's doing it again. Let's take him out because it's the third time through the order. It baffles me. It baffles me. But hey, you know what? I was worried, hey, what kind of storylines are we going to have to talk tonight about in the World Series? Nope. Worry no more. We're all set to go.
No worries. Yeah. Nope.
But earlier today, Jerry Jones, and a little upset with how the Cowboys have been playing the past few weeks, not having Dak Prescott, Andy Dalton not playing well, losing the way they did to Washington, did his normal weekly interview on 105.3 The Fan on the Shannon RJ show. And when he was asked about a question about the team having a leadership void with Dak Prescott being injured, Jerry Jones really didn't like the leadership question. Take a listen.
Does your team have a leadership void?
We're in the offensive line.
Just overall,
seriously, where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no. Will it shut up and let me answer? No.
Jerry, when you go into the locker room, what I'm asking is, do you see the intangibles?
You're not asking me that. I gave you the answer. When I go into the locker room, there's no leadership void in my eyes.
Okay.
Now that's your answer. Let's move on.
There's your answer. He tells the host to shut up a second. Came on the show because I heard Shannon RJ. I thought it was Mike Shanahan and maybe Ronald Jones. And I could maybe talk to both of you guys about coming on to the Cowboys and one of you coaching and one of you being a running back. So I just don't like this line of question at all. And so now I'm just going to tell you all to shut up. I mean, this is just wow. Listen to Jerry Jones. He had no time. He had no time for any questions, because any question that is why the Dallas Cowboys are failing, he knows it's an indictment on himself. And because Jerry Jones always says, I make all the decisions. I make every single decision. Now, we all talk about it, and he talked about this in the interview. Look, we have a bunch of people that get weigh in on things. Steven, I talk to, and I still talk to Tony. You know, Tony comes in and says that. He still talks, but he makes all the decisions. And so anytime this is not going well, he knows it's his fault, and he knows that there's nothing he can do. Because if the buck stops with me, it's all my fault. And you get mad, you get upset, and you push back when someone says, hey, dude, how come you guys stink? That's just natural. And today, Jerry Jones snapped. Now, he did apologize later on in the conversation, which was a good thing for him. I'm glad he said, listen, I'm sorry, guys. He finished the interview, and it turned out okay. But, you know, you lose your temper. Things are going bad for the Cowboys. I get it. I understand.
I dig that he just said, shut up and let me finish. He was trying to make a point. And I think it was asked, answered. And, look, someone had to wear it eventually. And these are people he obviously has a relationship with, does regular spots with. So I think they understand that the tension around Jerry World. And right now you're devaluing Jerry Bucks. I mean, the whole empire could crumble here. So I got no problem with the guy getting upset with a line of questioning. We talk about coaches, players, whenever they have an honest moment, we always ask for authenticity. Jerry gave it to you here, saying, because he wanted to go down the road of look at all our injuries and stopped himself, because who's going to feel sorry for you? But the reality is you've got, other than what team would you equate in terms of the number of injuries? Philadelphia in the same division? Outside of that, most teams haven't had the same run of bad luck and bad set of circumstances that the Cowboys have. Doesn't mean that they didn't cause some of that themselves. But for Jerry Jones, I'm surprised he didn't start cursing up a storm while he was at it.
I want to say blank you, Shan, and blank you, RJ, and everybody else, even that producer that said, hey, we're ready for you, Jerry. Blank you. Blank all you guys. And
none of you are ready for me.
No. This is going to be like that. This is going to be like that Talladega Nights scene when everybody's having dinner, and I'm just going to be mad at everybody. Walker, Texas Ranger, you guys, I'll tell you, old man over there, you shut up. Listening
shut
to
up,
this,
Chip.
That would scissor kick you in the back of the head. Listening to Jerry Jones complain about, and you're right, look, he had some injury problems, but he also has a problem that you know, four of the people that he signed to huge contracts are on the injured list. I mean, hearing him complain about his life in the NFL is like, man, it's like listen to someone really rich talk about the problems they have. I mean, that's really what you're doing.
Well, it is.
And it's
2 decades plus in the making is the other side of it, right?
True.
This is just the culmination of a lot of mismanagement.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Dodgers are threatening again. We got more on the World Series next on Fox.